The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Time now to talk all of the weekend sport, and I'm joined once again by Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Hiya, Owen.
Hi, Ciara. How are you?
Let's start with the big game that a lot of us are going to be watching this weekend. No, not the Liverpool match, but we are going to come to that. We'll get 10 minutes of the Liverpool match, and then I think we need to flick over really quickly. Ireland, New Zealand.
Yeah, it is a huge game, to be fair. Like, I think this is, in a weird way, a bit of a temperature check as to where Ireland are at, which... You kind of rue saying that sort of thing because it feels like it should be more momentous than that. It feels like we're going into this game and not really knowing where Ireland are. Now, I'd be an optimist on this Ireland team still. I think they are past their peak, but I'd still be a bit of an optimist as to where they're currently at. And I think we're going to be in a situation after about 20, 30 minutes of this game, coming up to halftime and thinking, geez, we're right in this. So why did we ever doubt this team? In a way...
I love that positivity, Owen.
I think so. I just find that...
Even though there's so many on this team coming off the Leinster team, which really aren't doing really well.
And that's valid criticism, but I think there's a difference between being worried about Ireland not getting to win, and then there seems to be a little bit of a narrative out there that New Zealand could go and hammer Ireland tomorrow evening, which I'm not subscribing to. There was this sort of tone around the Ireland team when they went down to South Africa last summer in 2024, and especially after they lost that first test to South Africa, we kind of bemoaned the idea that it was the end of a long season, the World Cup was the previous year, they've maybe just come off their peak. And then they went and they beat South Africa the following week in South Africa. And this Ireland team can sometimes do that. I would be concerned if they show no sort of fight and no sort of performance this weekend, then I'd be a little bit concerned about the future of this team. But I still think there's a base level of performance. There's a muscle memory in this team that, sure, they haven't played that much this season. But a lot of them were British and Irish lines this summer. They can find that pretty quickly after 2 weeks of training, I suspect. But maybe I'm naively optimistic.
No, we'll take that optimism. I wonder what role being back at Soldier Fields in Chicago, the scene of the first victory against the All Blacks 9 years ago. Does that change the mindset at all, do you think? I mean, I don't think it does for New Zealand. I don't think they're going to be seeing this big revenge game because they've obviously beaten us a couple of times since then. But does it change the Irish mindset? We did it here once, we can do it again.
It is definitely up there as one of the most famous chapters in Irish rugby history, and everybody who's on that pitch will remember it for varying degrees of reasons, like Tyke Furlong being involved in the game. James Lowe was over there drinking, I believe, in Chicago. Maybe not drinking, but he's enjoying himself over in Chicago that weekend with his mates as a spectator. So everybody who's involved in that 23, everybody in the coaching setup has a core memory from that game in 2016 for various reasons. You're right about the All Blacks. They got their revenge a couple of weeks later when they came to Dublin in 2016 and beat Ireland up and beat Ireland on the pitch that day. So they got their revenge instantaneously.
And they've won the last two games against us.
And they've won the two that's mattered as well, 2019 and in 2023 in those World Cup quarterfinals. The one thing I would say is that the All Blacks are on a big sort of commercial push over in Chicago this week. They're still trying to do this thing of breaking America, which rugby constantly talks about, and they've been talking up their valuation of a $3.5 billion enterprise, and you know, money talks in the United States and all of that, but they've got players showing up at coffee shops and doing all these sorts of commercial dealings this week, whereas the Irish players have been wrapped in cotton wool away from the glare of the American public or any passerbys, I guess, over the past couple of days. So that could mean something tomorrow as well.
Okay, let's move on to the Premier League this weekend. Tell me you share the same optimism for Liverpool, whose current form is pretty atrocious.
It is atrocious. If you're looking to clutch at straws of optimism, well, they didn't play a very strong team midweek in the League Cup. However, you could also flip that on its head and say, well, if they don't win tomorrow, then playing the kids midweek will have all been for nothing. So he's kind of made a rod for his back a little bit there, Arne Slot, in terms of resting all his key players. He needs to win tomorrow. He needs to beat Villa. Like, sometimes I find, the fixture list is all down to luck. It's not about who you play, it's about when you play them. And if they'd got Aston Villa back in August, they'd have been strong favourites to beat Aston Villa. But Villa are coming into form brilliantly at this point. They've just beaten Manchester City last week. And I kind of feel that these are all the jigsaw pieces of a team that's just not having a good time right now. So Liverpool, the fixture list isn't really favouring them right now. Their attack feels a little bit messy. Mo Salah scored a brilliant goal last week against Brentford.
But his form's inconsistent.
Very patchy, to put it mildly. But I still think the defence is their big issue right now. And it's, sure, Captain Hindsight speaking here, but if they'd spent the Alexander Isak money on Mark Guay, the Crystal Palace centre-back during the summer, they would be higher up the league right now. Now, Isak probably will come back to proper fitness over the next couple of weeks and he'll start banging in goals, but right now...
And they have had a lot of injuries. There is difficulties with that.
Yeah.
with that team. What pressure is Arne Slot going to be on under tomorrow if he loses? Like, that'll be losing 7 out of 8 games.
Like, I'd like to say not much, but I look at the odds and he is favourite to be the next manager sacked. Second favourite after Vitor Pereira, the Wolves manager. But for him to be second favourite in the sack race is quite something, and it shows how quickly football can change at this point. I'd like to hold on to the idea that he's won them an unlikely Premier League title last year, and he's got a few more months of grace in this. Like, if they start plummeting towards the relegation zone in the second half of the season, then he might need to pull a parachute option. I wouldn't be moving with the manager right now. And like, with this question, you always have to ask, who would replace Arne Slot at this point? And I'm not necessarily sure who the answer to that question would be. Is it Andoni Iraola, the Bournemouth manager, who's flying high with them at the moment, potentially? But I'm not necessarily sure there's a silver bullet fix in the dugout right now for Liverpool.
No, and is the problem actually the manager?
Is the problem, like, see, I'm not necessarily sure it is. Like, does he take all the blame for not signing a centre back? A second, I know they signed Leone, the Italian, the young Italian who's now injured during the summer, but is it his fault for not signing a second centre back or bolstering that defence in a better way? He takes some blame for sure, but Liverpool have also prided themselves on a recruitment structure and using data to make very, very good signings. So they now have to take the blame when things haven't gone so well.
Now, looking to Man United, they've had a really good run of form recently and they're up against Forest tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah. Nottingham Forest against Manchester United. Sean Dyche going up against Ruben Amorim. Sean Dyche said back in May that he would get better results with this Manchester United team if he was playing 4-4-2. So naturally those comments have been brought back up and Ruben Amorim was asked about them and he took them very well. He was like, listen, if you're a pundit in the media, you've got to say entertaining things, otherwise I'm not going to watch you. So he's brushed them off very well and he just looks like a man who has had a massive weight removed from his shoulders. He just looks happier, he looks lighter, he's 3 games on the bounce winning at the moment, and as we always have to say at this point, 2 games away from your man cutting his hair. He's hoping for the United strand, he's hoping for 5 wins on the bounce for Manchester United. So going away to a Sean Dyche team tomorrow is a very, very tricky task, and coming away with 3 points would just be a further proof that they are properly back right now, Manchester United.
And it would allow them to really take advantage of what's happening at Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that must be the cherry on the cake right now for a lot of United fans. Like, it was a deeply emotional moment for them when they went to Anfield and they won last Sunday week. For them to actually close the gap on them and to get above them in the Premier League table would be something else entirely. So they are above them right now by 1 point and they'll be hoping to increase that gap on Liverpool as this weekend develops. Just like, it's kind of crazy that we're saying this stuff out loud. Football changes so quickly. Like, are we witnessing a change in the balance of power? I thought this was years away last month at this point. I'm still not convinced it has happened this season just yet. I want to see a little bit more evidence, but it's closer than we possibly previously expected.
And the third game is the Spurs-Chelsea game, speaking of inconsistent performances. Could you call that one?
Maybe a Tottenham Hotspur win in this one, to be fair. I can probably predict that Chelsea are going to have a man sent off. They seem to have a man sent off in every single game at the moment. Liam Delap was the man who got sent off midweek for them. Like, Spurs, it kind of feels like they're trundling along this season without any sort of massive explosion of joy around their supporters or anything like that. But they're in third place on 17 points, only 5 off their North London rivals Arsenal at the top of the table. They've also scored the joint most amount of goals this season with 17 goals as well. So they're going along very nicely. Thomas Frank has a bit of a reputation for being defence first, quite boring and pragmatic, but it is working right now for Spurs. And if they continue this run, and especially if they manage to top that off with a win against Chelsea, who they don't really like this weekend, I think Thomas Frank is going to find a few more fans in that Spurs fan base.
And finally, coming all the way back home, domestic football this weekend.
Yeah, so final day of the season, tomorrow, 4:30, all these fixtures are happening. Drogheda United versus Bohemians is probably the pick of the bunch because they're both battling it out for 4th spot and trying to get into the European spots after tomorrow's play. St. Pat's are currently in 4th on 51 points, but Bowes and Drogheda both on 51 points as well. Of course, Shamrock Rovers wrapped up the league midweek. They finally got over the line and they've won yet another title, and Stephen Bradley has won yet another title. He was saying during the middle of the week that they now want to go and win the Cup on Sunday week and they want to get out of the league phase of the Conference League, and that would constitute the greatest season ever by an Irish club. So that's what they have to do over the next little while, but all eyes on Pats, Bowes and Drogheda tomorrow afternoon.
Lots of good sport this weekend.
Absolutely.
Owen Sheehan, thanks so much.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.